In the news update for November 22nd, 2022, on this Tuesday gay. Early morning edition.
We do. Okay, fine.
Hour number four
but
starts
see, it's not
next.
About that. It's about,
Center, on two signature stations,
America's
SiriusXM and terrestrial
values,
satellite
and how
networks.
Is presented
also
to the
broadcasting
world now
to all the interwebs,
gay.
To all the podcasting
and
players
so
where you consume your content.
But why
the podcast
they?
Name is
we
Top
just
Ed
took
Lines,
the American flag
national
off the
and
US
international news tours.
And put the gay flag
and of course,
on
if you
it.
Want to find, you want to go to your
so
favorite player,
Spotify.fm,
Stitcher, Anchor.fm, iHeartRadio,
Pandora, Western culture.
Apple
this
Cast,
is not
and many,
Western
many
value.
More.
This
you can
is
find
liberals.
Us over 100 of
this
them
is
all.
Commies.
Hour number four, hitting it
so
up
no.
Next.
Shootings in Chicago, as I'm going over some of these other headlines. Two injured from two overnight shootings in Baltimore. This is all over the weekend. Delaware County, Philadelphia police investigating deadly double shooting. Chicago shootings, two teens among nine shot in weekend gun violence. Two teenagers shot on Staten Island, New York. Guys, what do we have on Google here? Google for me
in a news update,
weekend Chicago shootings or shooting Chicago weekend or something like that. Let's see what we have here. Because Lori Lightfoot is sick of this. Beep is what she says. She's sick of this, so I wonder if she's sick of what happens in her city. Oh, three teens among 20 shot. CBS News, 4 hours ago, three killed, 17 wounded. NBC Chicago, 21 minutes ago, 15-year-old among three killed. Yeah, this is just all from the weekend. I mean, we can go to last weekend, too. Six people killed in separate shootings over weekend in Chicago. That's last weekend. Another one last weekend. Five people killed, 30 others wounded in weekend violence. Okay, so there you go. Those numbers are all worse than what happened in Colorado. Mayor Lori Lightfoot, your thoughts. Mayor Lori Lightfoot, your comments. Are you sick of this bleep too? Are you sick of this crap too, Lori? Or is that just in another person's district? Is that just when you guys can use political violence, what you view as political violence against your enemy to disarm the American people? Concluding the coverage of the shooting in Colorado, and then, of course, the liberal supremacist Democrat response. Looking into what I was going to cover next, and that was the issue of globalism and the global government, and it hits me as I'm looking at this stack of news dealing with the global government and some of the geopolitical news stories on my desk. It just hit me, and it's so obvious. But we have to remember this. Almost everything politically, policy-wise, that comes from the Democrat Party is just a feeder into the World Economic Forum, into the one world government. And so that's what really needs to be understood. And that's what's so upsetting, because all these Democrat policies are all disingenuous. They don't really mean any of it. It's not based in logic, reasoning, or even law. Basic common sense. But okay, why, when you realize it, if Democrat Party policy is just a feeder into the World Economic Forum, just a feeder into the global government, okay, so let's apply that to what they're doing with gun legislation and what they want with gun confiscation, and then does it hit you? Then do you see the clear picture here? Do you see the bigger picture? Do you see the 10,000-foot view now? Folks, they can't have their global government with 300 million armed Americans. That ain't gonna work. So yes, of course the Democrats are trying to disarm you. Of course they're trying to chip away at the Second Amendment. And I think even they probably realize it's all a pipe dream and that it's never really gonna happen, but they have to do it because they are World Economic Forum stooges and they are globalists. So yes, of course, they have to disarm the American people. In order to get their global world government, you can't have an armed civilization. You can't have America. You can't have a free people. So of course they're going to use any and every opportunity to convince you to turn your firearms in. And of course they're going to use it when we feel like we're at our most vulnerable, where a school gets shot or a nightclub gets shot or a movie theater gets shot. And of course they always want to tie it into the politics of being gay or the politics of whatever. Oh, you feel even worse because it's a gay club. And so it's even worse that it's a gay club, see? Oh. And so that's what they do. But it's really important because we can never forget that, folks. We're going to be dealing with an extremely heated presidential election cycle in the next 2 years. And we're going to be extremely distracted with all the developments domestically. But it's always important to remember what really lurks behind the Democrats and what really lurks behind the Republican establishment that is the right leg of the Democrat Party, of the larger body politic that is the World Economic Forum, that is Klaus Schwab, that is the Great Reset, that is the global government. And people need to understand that, especially dealing with all of these domestic political issues and policies that might not make sense. I mean, nobody should understand why the Democrats want to disarm you. That should confuse everybody. You, a law-abiding citizen, has your Second Amendment violated because a known criminal, a deranged lunatic who already was on FBI watch list for bombings and arrested for bombings, and he goes out and shoots a gay nightclub, and now you have to turn your gun in, and now you have to be a good slave? That shouldn't make sense to anybody until you realize what's really behind it. The global world government in which you, the citizen, can no longer be free. It's really not that difficult. Is a slave allowed to have a firearm? No. Last time I checked, slaves are not allowed to have weapons, and so why should you, good slave? You getting it yet? Do you really think... You really think slavery as a concept just goes away? No, people still want to enslave you.
Part three, period.
All right, we're going to move on from this issue, but just quickly here. It's frustrating, and I don't want to belabor this too much. Alex Jones already covered it in the first hour as we enter the second hour of the Alex Jones Show. But it's frustrating when Elon Musk says, okay, I'm going to make sure Alex Jones is still banned on Twitter because I have no mercy for anyone who would use the deaths of children for gain, politics, or fame. So I guess Elon Musk is really, I mean, he is really feeling good about himself these days, isn't he? And so, because, you know, he's the one that should be doling out mercy. I guess that's how the position he views himself in as the owner of Twitter now. Okay, so, but by this logic, Elon... Anyone who would use the deaths of children for politics, those are your own words, that's your own quote here, Elon. I have no mercy for anyone who would use the deaths of children for politics. Okay, you know that's not just Alex Jones, right? Right, Elon? Come on, Elon. 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 Who uses the deaths of kids for politics? Elon. Elon. And then, I mean, wouldn't you say if that you know, politics is then used for gain and fame? So, I mean, technically, if you're using the deaths of children for politics, also gain and fame follow. So, Elon, I know quite a few individuals that use the death of children for politics, Elon. But somehow I feel like those individuals are not going to be, or should I say, they will have mercy. It's Elon Musk words here. So I guess they'll have mercy, but not Alex Jones. He gets no mercy. Even though by your own logic here, Elon, anyone who uses the death of children for politics has none of your mercy, but... Somehow I know AOC is still on there. Somehow I know David Hogg is still on there. Somehow I know every Democrat who's tried to take away your guns after a shooting, specifically a school shooting that involves children. I'd say they use the deaths of children for politics and therefore gain and fame. Wouldn't you, Elon? Wouldn't you? Of course, Elon. Of course. But you're not going to ban those Democrats, are you? You're not going to censor David Hogg, are you, Elon? No, just Alex Jones, isn't it? Just Alex Jones. Well, it's too bad for Elon because he's really exposed himself in this way. But that's fine. That's fine. He can make his own decisions. He's a big boy. Now, before I get into the larger geopolitical news, folks, remember... This sale right now at InfoWarsStore.com is about as big as it gets, and I don't know if we've ever done anything like this before. So not only do we have up to 60% off top-selling products, we do deep discounts, but not only do we have that plus the double Patriot points, all right, we do the double Patriot points that you can apply towards future purchases, but this is a new one. Free gift with every order. And I just so happened to be on the phone listening to Alex Jones giving out the order here, and he specifically said, hey, we want these gifts going out to be nice. We want these to be nice gifts that people are going to love. Free items. The gift is going to be chosen at random. It could be a nice InfoWars koozie, a flag, sunglasses, coasters, the RFID protection, and more. That's part of your free gift. Free gift. With every order right now at InfoWarsStore.com. So you're on there making sure you've got the toothpaste, the Super Coral Whitening Toothpaste. You get a free gift. You're on there. You wanted to try out the bodies, see what all the five-star reviews are about. You get a free gift. You wanted to get the elite flagship product, DNA Force Plus, 50% off, free gift. It's all at InfoWarsStore.com. And of course, as you know, it's your support there that keeps us on the air. We hope you'll take advantage of these free gifts right now by shopping at InfoWarsStore.com. All right, you know, here's the message. This is Ron DeSantis, and this is the message right here. This is the path to victory. This is the basic stance that needs to be applied for any of our elected politicians here in America, and it's Ron DeSantis in clip 18.
I want to have the values not of Davos imposed on us, but of places like Destin and Dunedin, where I grew up. Things like the World Economic Forum, those policies are dead on arrival in the state of Florida. We are not going to go down that road.
Yes, cheering roar of a standing ovation. I'm hearing it right now. Now he's doing government business in a government building, so you don't really get that. But did you hear it? I heard it. I heard it. I heard all of America standing up, cheering, roaring, a raucous applause. Thank you, Ron DeSantis. That needs to be, really, if the Republicans were smart, and the current leadership is not, they're globalists. Mitch McConnell's a globalist. Ronna McDaniel's a globalist. Because if they were smart, that's the exact rhetoric they would be telling every single one of their candidates to be injecting into their speeches, into their policies, all of it. We reject globalism. We reject the World Economic Forum. We reject the Great Reset. We reject Klaus Schwab. We reject Davos. Dead on arrival. Only Ron DeSantis, though. And you think the Republicans would be smart enough because they want to pretend they're behind DeSantis, which is all just a gimmick, I think. Yes, the Republican establishment is trying to get DeSantis to run against Trump. But I don't think that's because they're pro-DeSantis. I think that's because they're anti-Trump. And they just look at DeSantis as the next guy up in the depth chart as an extremely popular governor right now. But you'd think maybe they would listen to a speech like that from DeSantis and then apply that party-wide, but they won't. And we all know why. And then here's the other side of that spectrum. Here is Macron over the weekend saying the exact opposite, that no, we need the global government in clip 19.
Russians trying to become more and more nervous. If they become very nervous and start war, it will be a big problem for the rest of the jungle. You need cooperation of a lot of other animals.
Because we're all animals.
Tigers, monkeys, and so on. Are you on the US or the Chinese side? Because now, progressively, a lot of people would like to see that there are two orders in this world. This is a huge mistake. Even for both the US and China. We need a single global order.
There you go. A single global order. A one world government. A new world order. And they all brag about it. They all tell you about it. They're all part of the World Economic Forum now. They all do the Davos meetings, the Bilderberg meetings. And it's just all right out there in front of you. I mean, does that even sound appetizing? Does that even sound good to you? A single world order, a global government? I mean, obviously, you understand that means the end of freedom. They're not talking about freedom because that's not global order. You understand that, right? You understand that nothing implied there involves freedom. Whereas everything implied by Ron DeSantis is freedom. Well, geez, why can't you have the Chinese way and the U.S. way exist together at the same time? Well, because the U.S. way is freedom and the Chinese way is communism. You see, yeah, that doesn't work. So which one is going to have to give? What is going to have to give, Macron? What is going to have to give for your one world order? What is going to have to give for the global government? Do you think it's going to be communism or do you think it's going to be freedom? Which one do you think the World Economic Forum leaders expect you, the citizen of Earth, to sacrifice? The beautiful successes of communism or the human desires of freedom? Which one do you think will be sacrificed at the altar of the World Economic Forum? All right, let's shift to some geopolitical news now. Dealing with Russia and Brazil and all tying it into the global government that Macron and others brag about. Macron really wants to be, he really wants to be the butt plug of the New World Order. He likes going up and making big speeches about how much he wants to crush freedom and absorb all countries into the world government. He and Trudeau, I think, are kind of really the two that are trying to prove themselves worthy to be the first, you know, president of the World Economic Forum or whatever it is they think is going to happen. It looks like Macron and Trudeau really look at themselves as that future, as that demon. But let's just quickly look at what's going on in Ukraine, and I'm going to try to lay it out quickly for you here so that you understand. Ukrainians shoot 11 Russian prisoners of war in cold blood. And the videos are circulating the internet. They're confirmed by the New York Times. And so, it's not to, I mean, this is the story in the news, but here's the real story. The Russians and the Ukrainians are in a civil war. That's what this is. This is a civil war in Russia and Ukraine. And the West's involvement and interest is based on a few illegitimate things and then one legitimate thing. And the illegitimate things are Ukraine has been a massive hive of criminality and money laundering for decades by the West. Well covered, well tied into the Bidens and the Pelosis and everybody else. And now the FTX scandals may blow some of it wide open. And then there's the issue of having Ukraine as kind of a, like, just asking Russia to bully Ukraine so that NATO and the West can have that excuse to continue the demonization of the Russian boogeyman and then have their proxy groups operating in those regions, which then ties back into the money laundering and the weapons laundering and everything else. So you've got the West proxy groups out there, and then you've got the West money laundering crimes out there. Okay, and so these are the illegitimate reasons why the U.S. is so interested in Ukraine. The legitimate reason is true that Crimea, access to the Black Sea, that is a very important region. That is a very important region for resources, and it's a very important region for trade. And that's why Russia took it. And has it now. So that's why the West has such interest in that region. Now, the region is much more important to Russia than it should be for the United States, for obvious reasons. But again, the crimes, the proxy groups, and then control of that region, important to the West. But okay, so what's going on? Russia, I don't know how to properly put this, because it's to try to cover it, you first have to tear down all the propaganda, and you have to tear down all the lies that the mainstream media, the Western media, the American media has told you. And it's just a reminder of how corrupt and inept and pathetic the American media really is. I mean, it is just an abomination. But I'd have to spend 30 minutes to an hour trying to tear all that false information down. So instead, let me just try to put it to you like this. Let me just try to put it to you in real layman's terms, human terms. Ukraine and Russia are in a civil war, and Russia is taking major deaths, major defeats at times. Overall, they're winning, and overall, they've accomplished their agenda, but they didn't want to see tens of thousands dead. They didn't want to see all the damage done to infrastructure, most of it actually done by Ukraine missiles provided by the West. And they don't like seeing their prisoners of war get shot and raped and have their genitals cut off and torture videos. And this has all been going on by Ukrainians this year. And so they don't like that. And so you need to understand that the only reason any of that is happening is because of the West backing Ukraine. Ukraine would not have any of this. They would not have the weapons, they would not have the support, they would not have the confidence to be committing these war crimes and these heinous crimes against Russians, against Ukrainians, against their own people, against innocent people. They wouldn't have any of the confidence to do any of this if they weren't getting supported by the West, by the United States of America. And Russia knows that. Russia knows that, and the rest of the world knows that. Even the NATO allies and the European countries, who have mostly balked at the civil war between Russia and Ukraine, know that. And so the great irony is that it's been the left in recent history, it's been the left in modern America that has stood against wars, and it's been the left as recent as the Bush years to be against America imperialism or expansionism or whatever else they want to call it. And then Obama came around and launched more wars than Bush, and so I guess that's why liberals shut their mouths about it all of a sudden and love war now. I mean, that's how much Obama had them under mind control. The slick talking Mac Daddy. What was it? The snake-tongued Mac Daddy, Barack Obama. Who, by the way, I mean, I might as well throw this out there. Here's Malik Obama over the weekend. He says, "I don't hate Barack Obama. I'm just upset that he turned out to be what he is, a traitor." Malik Obama. But that's just anecdotal for you here. Back to the larger issue. So why is it that the same liberal left that didn't want us involved in the Middle East wars, that didn't want us involved in regime wars and called it imperialism and expansionism and America bad for it, but now they love when we're doing that in Ukraine? Why is that? Somebody explain that to me. All the wars and everything, the foreign interventions and regime change that the West has been involved in for decades, that the left, the liberals, stood against, adamantly stood against, wanted you to know how against it they were, and wanted to virtue signal how much better than you they were because of it. Now, all of a sudden, they're for it in Ukraine. Now, all of a sudden, they love that it's happening in Ukraine. Now, all of a sudden, they want more war in Ukraine. So if you thought it was bad, a million Iraqis killed, if you thought it was bad, the wars in Syria and everything else that Western proxy groups have been behind, you thought all that was bad. Folks, Russia ain't Iraq. Russia ain't Afghanistan. Russia ain't Syria. So that's not to belittle the people of those countries. It's just to say, do you think Russia is going to take this sitting down? Why do you think the rest of the world has let the U.S. go it alone in Ukraine? Folks, our leaders are stupid, they're out of control, they're criminally corrupt, and we're being set up for a massive failure right now. We're being set up for a massive embarrassment and failure on the world stage. And the fact that we haven't stopped funding Zelensky and Ukraine after the FTX scandal, the fact that we have not stopped funding and sending weapons to Ukraine after Zelensky goes on TV and says a Russian missile just hit Poland, we need it repaid in blood, and it was all a lie, it just shows you, folks, you're being lied to, It's all a corrupt criminal enterprise that's going on in Ukraine. And why is the liberal left falling for it? Why are you falling for this?
You know, it's funny. On the gun issue again here.
You have liberals that go to drag queen tranny time for kid events at libraries. This just happened over the weekend.
What's going on?
And you know what they do?
Yeah, I'm going to
do you know what the liberals do at drag queen tranny time for kids? You know what they do? Get this.
Yeah,
this is going to blow your mind now. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Who came up with this idea?
All right.
Do you know what they do? Do you know what liberals are doing at drag queen tranny time events? They're protecting the kids with guns. I know, guys. Now that might blow your mind, but we have it right here. You can see this is in Denton County, Texas, and you see that the left decided to show up with armed men in full-blown military outfits with their guns. There you go. Just freeze frame it right there for me. There you go, guys. There it is right there. Look at that. They got their walkie-talkies and their headsets, fully body armored and fully armed, ready to go to protect those kids.
What was that?
Now, I'm just trying to put it all together here. So we protect the kids at drag queen tranny time with guns. We protect them from the big bad conservatives. But we don't protect the kids at schools with guns. At the school, the answer is to disarm.
So what are you talking about?
Gotcha. I'm just trying to make sense of it all here. That's all. I'm just asking some questions, trying to make sense of all. So that's where we're at now, Libs. Is that where the liberal energy is at now? Is that where the liberal logic is at? We protect the kids at the drag queen tranny time events with guns, armed men with guns, but not at the schools. That's when it's bad. Gotcha. Just making sure. Just got to figure it all out here, folks. We're just trying to figure it all out. We're all just as confused as they are. Again, I want to move on from this, but there's other geopolitical issues to cover. It's just so sick, the disservice the American media is doing, and it's just so disgusting. Because in a way, folks, I mean, it's not to say one thing is more evil than the other. I mean, if you think it was bad what the U.S. did in Iraq, or you think it was bad what the U.S. did in Afghanistan, well, you better realize it might even be worse what's going on in Ukraine. It's not yet, as far as lives lost, but it could be much worse. The only reason why you have these Ukrainian groups running around berserking, murdering people, torturing people, chopping off Russians' genitals is because they know they have the U.S.'s backing. And so they're told by their leaders, look, we just got a new shipment of arms from the West, and they celebrate. Look, we just got $10 billion more dollars from the U.S., and they celebrate. And then they feel empowered to go out, capture 11 Russians, torture them, and murder them on camera. And Putin knows all this, by the way. Putin knows the only reason they're so inflamed, the only reason they're so confident in these war crimes is because they have the U.S.'s backing. So you think it was bad in Afghanistan, you think it was bad in Iraq, you better realize how bad it is in Ukraine, too. It might not be the U.S. soldiers on the ground doing it, but it's our weapons, it's our confirmation, it's our training. That's what's going on. And Putin and Russia are not Afghanistan. Putin and Russia are not Iraq. And it's just amazing that the people can't see this.
Yeah,
it is amazing. And I'll move on, but when you see this, you need to understand what the Russians are thinking. You need to understand what Putin is thinking, because nobody else is telling you. Ukrainians shoot 11 Russian prisoners of war in cold blood. They tortured others. They've chopped up others. They've chopped off the genitals of others. This is what the sick, depraved Ukrainians are doing right now, while they're bombing their own people, by the way.
Still there?
And you need to know, the problems between the Russians and Ukrainians have always been there. But now that it's the West that's backing this level of it, and encouraging this level of it, you need to understand now that the Russians and Vladimir Putin are really looking at the U.S. differently now.
and really a disdain is growing in their heart. And would you say we deserve it? If we deserved it in Iraq, if we deserved it in Afghanistan? Because the left would have said that. But they're under total mind control, and the American media says this war is good. This war is good. War good in Ukraine. Killing Russians good for you. And meanwhile, they don't realize that in the big global picture, the U.S. is getting left in the dust. And that, see, and really, here's what it comes down to. Let me try to give you the practical application of this. What is one thing that the U.S. and the West has always had as leverage against the East or against China or against Russia or these other countries? What has it been, practically speaking? Sanctions. It's been sanctions. And so China's been worried about sanctions, and Russia will be worried about sanctions, and these other countries will be worried about sanctions that will be put on them by the West if they don't adhere to what the West is requesting. And usually this goes relatively smoothly for the West because it was aligned on most of these geopolitical issues. It's not aligned on Russia and Ukraine. It's only America now. And so they don't have the threat of sanctions, folks. Any threats or applied sanctions to Russia or China or Syria or anything like that are empty, in case you haven't noticed. They take those sanctions and they rip them up and they piss on them. So that geopolitical leverage that the West has always had with sanctions over these countries is gone. Gone. And I don't even think they bother with the sanctions anymore because they know it's worthless. They, at the beginning of this, they talked about sanctions and they issued sanctions, but it was a hollow shell. It was a nothing burger, so they kind of just gave it up. Yeah, Russia doesn't care about sanctions anymore. China doesn't care about sanctions anymore. In case you haven't noticed, they don't need America anymore. Now we're in a situation where we need them because Biden is a corrupt and compromised president that gets blackmailed by Russia and blackmailed by China, and so he can't do anything to help us. But he doesn't even really know what's going on. So that's the situation you have. The U.S. is not in control of the situation because we don't have the power of sanctions, and Russia and China and India and Brazil and Mexico and Saudi Arabia and Qatar and all these other countries are moving on, and Biden is sitting here, sanctions, sanctions, funding, funding, and the American people are getting screwed, and the American media is not even telling you the real story here, which is that the U.S. has lost almost all persuasion, all influence over the geopolitical world and markets. And now Russia and China and the rest of them, who normally would have to respond and flinch at the threat of sanctions, no longer do and could not care less. And now Russia, who I think Putin has liked the West. I think Putin has wanted a relationship with the West. I think he's even had admiration for the Western lifestyle. And I think now, sadly, that is all fading because of what Joe Biden and the United States government and military is doing in Ukraine. And so any hopes that we had of strong relations with Russia are pretty much gone now, folks. I don't even know if Trump can repair them at this point. When you've got Russian troops getting slaughtered, when you've got Russian troops getting tortured, when you've got Ukrainians chopping off Russian troops' genitals and filming it and saying, you know, hey, go say hi to your wife, and then they chop their genitals off on the camera, and they know that the only reason the Ukrainians are doing that is because of the confidence and the weapons instilled by the West, I don't know if it can ever be repaired, folks. It's really sad to see the U.S. just get crushed under Joe Biden, and we're doing it to ourselves. All right, what's going on in Brazil is historic, and it's got the media blackout because it's legitimate, it's organic, it's not controlled by the globalists, and so they don't want you to know about it. Powerful demonstration of We the People happening now in Brazil, and the truckers have now gotten involved, and The latest with that is the truckers are blocking off access to important airports and other stuff. That's in addition to the Brazilian farmers that are organizing, that's getting bigger. And then, of course, just the general population that supported Bolsonaro by the millions out in the streets every day. Now, you heard it here at first, because InfoWars is next year's news today, that the biggest difference between Brazil's stolen election and America's stolen election is that the Brazilian military is with Bolsonaro and behind Bolsonaro. You did not have that phenomenon in America. The military was actually against Trump. The military in Brazil is for Bolsonaro. And I would say my general consensus on as to why that's the case, the globalist seized control of the U.S. military for obvious reasons. And then we've seen the dastardly deeds of the globalist controlled U.S. military. The globalists never really had that initiative or takeover of the Brazilian military. And that's because it wasn't going to be used for globalist operations. And most individuals that join the Brazilian military join it because they love Brazil and they actually want to go into the crime-ridden areas and deal with the cartels. Many of them have suffered at the hands of the cartels and the favelas, what have you. And so they join the military because they actually want to see crime stopped in Brazil. They actually want to go after criminals. They're real Brazilian patriots. And they don't go overseas and fight a bunch of globalist wars. So that's why the situation in Brazil is different right now. And also, you don't have near the corruption of the bureaucracy, which is not nearly as big. And so what do you have is you have the corrupt Supreme Court in Brazil, but you don't have the corrupt bureaucracy like you do in the West that set up Americans and patriots on January 6th as their Reichstag moment so that our million-man march would be scuttled and subdued and then our free speech chilled on the issue of rigged or stolen elections. But that's not happening in Brazil. They didn't have the military globalist control. They didn't have their military under globalist control, and they didn't have the gigantic federal bureaucracies aimed against the people. So the response has been now from their own deep state, which is mostly the Supreme Court. They're trying to get control of the presidency again with Lula. Lula minister signs order allowing child services to take children away from free election protesters. So there you go. So, oh, you're protesting in Brazil. Oh, you're out in the street waving a Brazilian flag. You lose your kids. Brazilians protesting election results have their bank accounts frozen. So that's what's going on. I don't know what's going to happen next, folks, but there is going to be some form of a standoff here. And I don't think the millions of Brazilians are just going to go home. They might threaten to take their children. I don't think they'll actually be able to pull that off. If they do, the military will step in at that point. I think they know it. That's the standoff they have. As far as the bank accounts being frozen, they'll be able to work around that. They'll find ways to work around that, and they will deal with that. But we'll see. The real standoff here is, are you really going to start taking kids? Because I don't think the Brazilian military is going to stand for that. And I think that if anything good happens, it's going to be the corrupt judge on the Supreme Court may be getting a bit of a comeuppance here politically, legally, lawfully with the military involved. I don't know if Bolsonaro is planning on sticking around through all of this. But there are still the millions in the streets, and that situation is developing. Now, here's where it all ties in, and this is why they have to have Lula as the president of Brazil, because Bolsonaro would never sign Brazil onto the global government. And this just came out from the G20 in Egypt. Rich countries agree to pay for climate damages in poor nations. So, oh, a poor nation has a flood, a poor nation has a earthquake, whatever. Now you have to pay for it. That's what they say, rich nations. Rich nations. Oh, our nations are rich because they stole the wealth from the people because they're dirty commies. But now that's the agreement, is oh, there was a mudslide. Oh, there was a flood. Oh, there was an earthquake. Oh, there was a hurricane. Oh, there was this. And now you have to pay for it. That's now your duty to pay for that because you're a bad guy causing climate change, which they used to call global warming, but they don't anymore. Why? Well, here's why. South Pole hits record cold temperatures for November. South Pole, record cold temperatures for November. Yes, that's why they said it's not global warming anymore, don't you know? Because it never was. It never was. And then Macron tells you we need the world government. Poland, Finland, and Latvia to construct huge barbed wire fences on borders with Russia and Belarus. The irony here is great because Poland and Finland and Latvia, at least at this stage, Russia is of no threat to them at all. But of course, the irony is they'll let in mass migrants from other countries just pour across their border, and that's fine. But Russia, who's not even coming across the border, they're going to build the wall to stop the Russians who aren't even coming. Sorry, yeah. That'd be like if the U.S., that'd be like if Biden came out and said, we're going to build a wall on the Bering Strait, or we're going to build a wall on Alaska to keep the Russians out. And you'd say, what Russians? And you say, you know, the Russians are coming. So we built a wall on the Bering Strait and we built a wall on Alaska to keep the Russians out. Meanwhile, down at the southern border, you have over 5 million illegal immigrant crossings since January 2021. But we're building a wall on the Bering Strait to stop the Russians who aren't even coming here and don't want to because they look at the West as a crap hole now. As does much the rest of the planet. And I don't buy that. I don't believe that. I think we have a great country here. I think we got bad leadership and a lot of cleaning up to do because of it. But I think America can once be returned to its glory. And really all it requires is just giving the freedom back to the people. Giving freedom, independence, prosperity back to the people. That's all it takes. You can turn it around like that. Like flipping on a light bulb. That's all it will take. But that's why they're constantly trying to expand the government, find new reasons to expand the government, trying to disarm you so that they can expand the government without any backlash or threats of a backlash. It's called tyranny, folks. It's called tyranny. And if America falls to tyranny, then I don't know where the world goes. I don't know where the world goes from that. And now we're going to have to be dealing with the next 2 years of Biden, and it's just going to be a disaster. And even if they do get Biden out in the form and fashion that I talked about earlier on the show, it's not going to be good. And that's why at this point, I mean, DeSantis might be better domestically, but the only person that can get us out of this geopolitical international hole that Joe Biden has buried us in, basically a grave. I mean, we're basically in a grave, geopolitically speaking. And the only chance we have, I think, to get out of that grave is Trump. Or you could just say, we don't need the rest of the world. Let's just be independent. DeSantis will be better for that. I could agree with that, potentially. But DeSantis hasn't even announced he's going to run, so I don't want to get out ahead of ourselves. Folks, selling out fast are supplements at InfoWarsStore.com, like Brain Force Plus, Brain Force Ultra, Alpha Power, VasoBeat Complete, DNA Force Plus, Vitamin Mineral Fusion, and so much more, already at a deep discount, selling out. But we've just added a brand new special. Free gift with every order at InfoWarsStore.com. So yes, we've got up to 60% off. Yes, we've got double Patriot points with every order, but now also a free gift. And we've got a wide range of things that we got around here, like koozies, flags, sunglasses, coasters, RFID protection, and so much more. And so when you go visit InfoWarsStore.com and you make a purchase, you will be getting a nice free gift, a nice little surprise in the mail for you, courtesy of us here at InfoWarsStore.com. And that's just our little way of saying thank you. We appreciate you. We love you for shopping at InfoWarsStore.com and keeping us on air. And then you call in and you rant and rave about how great the supplements are and how they worked for you. We thank you for that. And that's why every purchase at InfoWarsStore.com right now gets a free gift. All right. What should we call this upcoming phenomenon where the Biden crime family is going to be in the crosshairs of an investigation. It actually already has been. All the evidence has already been collected. They're just waiting to get the subpoena power with Republican control of the House. And you've got a new book coming out from John Paul Mac Isaac. He's the one where Hunter Biden left the laptop. And part of me still kind of, I don't know if it even matters. I mean, maybe it does. How is it that Hunter Biden and Ashley Biden both just happened to leave extremely compromising documents out there for the public to find? Like, really, that's just a coincidence? Did they do it intentionally? Are they really that inept and incompetent? But a book is coming out tomorrow. American Injustice, My Battle to Expose the Truth, about how when he reported the Hunter Biden laptop, the feds came after him instead of investigating the crimes on the laptop. But now you've got CBS News with their big Sunday night news special saying it's the Hunter Biden laptop, it's real, it shows all the crimes of the Biden crime family. Oh, really? We knew that 2 years ago. Wow. You guys are playing catch up, huh? 2 years after Biden gets into office, now you want to break that story? Gotcha. And then here's some of the response from the Democrats. Here's Zoe Lofgren on the issue with CBS in clip 10.
You sit on the Judiciary Committee. You just heard Rod Rosenstein say that he thinks the U.S. attorney in Delaware is sufficient in terms of being able to independently decide on what to do with Hunter Biden and that case. I wonder if you agree with that, or if you think your Republican colleagues are right to ask for a special counsel to deal with the current president's son.
Well, I don't know anything about that case.
I doubt you know anything about anything.
But you have oversight of the Justice Department.
Yes, but we don't, you know, I serve with Mike Pence on the Judiciary Committee. We don't oversee and interfere with individual investigations and
cases.
You're
supposed to.
That would be improper in terms of oversight.
We don't oversee. We're just the Oversight Committee. We don't do any overseeing of anything. We're just the Oversight Committee. Thank you. But here's Hakeem Jeffries, who denied that Trump ever won an election. So he's an election denier. And he says they're going to be defending Joe Biden in these upcoming days in clip 13.
Republicans announced this week their oversight plans, which include taking a look at the withdrawal from Afghanistan, the origins of COVID, the FBI search at Mar-a-Lago. I can see that there could be, theoretically, legitimate oversight questions on each of those topics that could be asked. Will House Democrats participate in these investigations in good faith, or do you see it as your role to defend the Biden administration?
Well, we will absolutely defend the Biden administration and his track record of success if it comes under assault by people attempting to politicize our governmental responsibilities, without question.
Yes, and this is just like how they denied inflation. They said there was no inflation. Then they said, well, there's a little inflation, but it's good for you. Then they said, well, it's inflation, but it's just temporary. And then it kept going. And so now what do the Democrats say? They say, well, what's the Republican plan for inflation? To get Democrats out. The plan, get Biden out. That's the only plan you need. They don't need a plan other than to get you out of the way. But this is going to be the battle now inside the Republican Party. Establishment House Republicans oppose impeaching Joe Biden. Who's going to get control of the House? Well, if it's Kevin McCarthy in charge, I don't have much faith. And that's sad to say, because Marjorie Taylor Greene, who I like and trust, has said Kevin McCarthy's the way to go. But is Kevin McCarthy going to allow the Republicans, forget about even impeachment, how about to just investigate the Biden crime family first? Let's get the subpoenas. Let's get into that laptop. Let's do investigations. And then let's do that right. And then maybe talk about impeachment. But the establishment Republicans are already trying to scuttle this before it even gets going. I'm now joined by Alex Savetsky, and he is the author of the Uncommunist Manifesto. He covers crypto, Bitcoin, and he wants to come on to get into the latest with the FTX scandal. Here's some of the recent headlines. Senator Josh Hawley demands correspondence between federal officials and Democrat Party leaders following FTX collapse and why the scheme was only revealed after the midterm elections. FTX, Tether, the CIA, drug cartels, money laundering in the Ukraine. And then I'm telling you, this is the, I think this is the one that's going to be used to distract us. Freaky FTX Sam Bankman-Fried and his girlfriend Caroline Ellison had unusual ideas about group sex. Yeah, folks, it wasn't just ideas, okay? And look, I don't want to be the one to reveal this because I just don't want to be the one to reveal it. But the fact that they're not making a bigger story out of the weird sex stuff and orgy stuff that they were doing tells me that they're holding that back. And so whenever the real crimes and money laundering and stuff is revealed, then they're going to distract you with the shiny object in their left hand and say, oh, did you know they were having orgies? Here, look, here's a naked picture of Caroline. See? Oh. It's all already out there, and they don't really want to push that. It tells me they're intentionally holding it back. So, Alex, you cover crypto, Bitcoin. You're following the FTX story. I mean, we've got a lot of the details. I think the picture is becoming pretty clear to me on this scandal. So why don't you just talk about the big picture here, what you think this is all about, and with all the information we have, what is the conclusions that you've reached as far as the FTX scandal is concerned?
Owen, thanks for having me on. It's good to be back on InfoWars. Look, this is the big picture. I would argue, and many other Bitcoiners that I respect would also argue, that we've probably reached the state-level attack on Bitcoin. And if anything, that's what FTX may have been. So I met Sam back in 2021. There was a conference, a Bitcoin conference in Miami, and there was a little boat party that I went on, and I had a quick chat with him. And at that point, I had absolutely no idea who he was. He was this like weird guy that was sitting there eating like all the hors d'oeuvres. And I had a quick chat with him, and some dude told me, he's like, oh, he's the guy who owns FTX. And I said, what's FTX? And they said, oh, it's the fastest growing crypto exchange in the world. And I was like, fuck, I've never heard of this shit. And the guy came out of nowhere, basically. Never heard of him before 2020. 2021 may have heard of him somewhere, and then out of nowhere came, you know, the second biggest exchange on the planet. And to me, what that means is that, you know, he was obviously funded by someone. As we've seen, there's, you know, money laundering, there's all this stuff, you know, money to Ukraine. You know, I mean, I've got one here where, you know, he was giving $20 million to COVID researchers. He was on a panel that was supposed to be upcoming with Zelensky, with Zuckerberg, with Janet Yellen. So these people are all part of the same little cabal. And the big picture thing to take out of this is that this vindicates the reason that Bitcoin exists, not crypto. There is a massive separation between those two. There is Bitcoin that lives here, which is money that no individual, no state, no institution, no corporation, no FTX, that nobody can touch. This is why people like Sam, they were always bashing on Bitcoin. They're always saying it's shit, it's slow, all the crap that they say.
And correct me if I'm wrong here, and just so you know, we're on terrestrial radio, so we can't curse. It's okay, but just we can't curse on terrestrial radio. But FTX, they weren't actually doing any Bitcoin transactions, right? I mean, they were not working with Bitcoin.
No, they're an exchange. So they allow people to trade. So these things are designed to basically get people somewhere to gamble. That's completely the opposite of why Bitcoin exists. Bitcoin exists as money that allows people to save, immune from government confiscation, immune from inflation, immune from taxation, immune from all of the things that normal traditional fiat money is not immune from. Now, what happens is all these crypto people have popped up, whether it's Ethereum, whether it's Solana, whether it's FTX, whether it's Binance. All of this crap is a distraction, kind of like what you said about the sex tape. It's a distraction to get people to not understand what Bitcoin is. Because the thing that the establishment fears the most is a people who have their wealth intact, whose wealth you cannot confiscate from them.
Yeah, and you know, this is the more important, because here's the problem that I think sometimes, and it's not any fault of their own, because it's a relatively new concept, financial concept for people to understand why people support Bitcoin. And this is why my big problem with the Bitcoin community talking about whether it's worth $6,000 or $60,000, you're doing yourself a disservice, because it shouldn't matter whether it's worth $60,000 or $6,000. That might be a nice promotional thing for people to look at it. But at the end of the day, people need to understand it's a decentralized currency. It's all about getting government, getting central bankers out of the transactional process. So it's like, let's say you've got one stack of cash, you've got two stacks of cash. You've got one stack of cash here, you got one stack of cash here. And you say, okay, you get to pick which stack of cash you want. And you're like, okay, but hold on. This stack of cash is gonna be controlled by a bunch of other people, and they're gonna tell you how to spend it, where to spend it, how much you can spend of it, and they're gonna take a little off the top every transaction. This stack of cash over here, you just take it, do whatever you want with it. Well, which stack of cash are you gonna want? You're obviously gonna want that's not gonna be oversought, and it's not gonna have the taxing and all of it on it. And so that's kind of, when I try to explain the concept of Bitcoin, and I'm not a big Bitcoin supporter, I like decentralized currencies, absolutely. But that's the big issue that people need to understand. That's why the state's attacking it. To get back to where you're at, that's why Bitcoin is under attack. That's why cryptocurrency as a concept is under attack, because the central bankers and the big governments need that control over the monetary policies, need that control over the money. Otherwise, they can't really enslave us anymore.
I mean, this is why they're pushing for CBDCs. If for those who don't know what that means, it's central bank digital currency. Now, the easiest way for them to launch CBDCs is actually going to be to partner with an institution or a foundation or an organization that is running a current cryptocurrency. The most likely one, in my mind, is going to be Ethereum. There's probably some other ones like, you know, Cardano and this and that, that the government and the state is most likely to partner with. But this is why I always differentiate for people Bitcoin versus crypto. They are unrelated. Crypto is just digital fiat. That's it. And it's got far more in common with the US dollar or the euro or the Australian dollar or the yen or you name the government issued, coin, whatever you want to place in there. So it's important for people to realize sovereign money and not feeding your jailers is actually how you fight back. So when we talk about, just I want to also mention the piece that you said about the Bitcoin price. Now, money is supposed to, like, if you think about what money represents the collective product of society, right? It represents the time, the energy, and the natural resources within a society. And money is a technology or a tool that enables people to do a couple things. Number one is store that product, that value, transact that product, that value, and measure that. So it's kind of like a language of value. So when you think about that, you can't print time, you can't print energy, and you can't print physical resources out of nothing. So these things are all fixed and finite in nature. So a perfect money would also be fixed and finite in nature. And that's what Bitcoin is. Bitcoin is kind of like this perfect money that is fixed, it's immutable, you can't change it, and nobody can change the rules. In the same way as nobody can change time, nobody can change energy, nobody can change natural resources. This is what the establishment is most afraid of. And this is why they support, whether it's crypto, they'll support Ethereum, they'll support things like FTX, when FTX blows up, everyone freaks out and they think the problem is Bitcoin, when the problem is what's happening here. That's why I say it's an attack on Bitcoin specifically, as is all of crypto.
Well, let's get into that on the other side of this break, because I do think this was an organic takedown of FTX. I don't think the deep state had origins of taking this down. Why would they? They were laundering so much money. But as we know, communists don't let a good crisis go to waste. So of course they're gonna use this to attack crypto. Eventually Bitcoin is gonna be their biggest shark. But I feel like they're kind of not, they're treading lightly on the Bitcoin ground right now, because they know Bitcoiners are really good advocates for crypto, and so they don't want to anger you guys too much, I've noticed. Alex Svetsky wrote the Uncommunist Manifesto. You gotta like that. Got great reviews, you can read it for yourself, find out why. And we're talking crypto, FTX crash, Bitcoin and everything else. And so you got into the state attack on Bitcoin. You mentioned that in the last segment. Now, to me, from my perspective, I think that this collapse was organic. Now, maybe at some point in time, they did plan on writing SBF and FTX out as their controlled collapse to eventually go after crypto. But I think at this point, it was organic. I think the Binance guy calling SBF out was organic. And then the response has basically been the old, as you know, communist response, don't let a good crisis go to waste. So of course, with it all crashing down, they're trying to take control of it. Do you agree with that analysis? Do you agree with me that this was an organic fallout? Or do you think this was a controlled fallout from the very beginning?